Hello, and welcome to Project Hearthstone Become Legendary. I'm your host, Franco the Speedy Marufo, and this is Episode 7, The Catch-Up. Some of the more astute listeners may have realised that we're a little late with this episode and haven't kept to our regular fortnightly slot of every second Tuesday. I'd like to say I've been busy, but really, I'm just lazy. On this week's show, me and BG take a brief departure from producing some valid and valuable content by interviewing one of the world's best Hearthstone players, and instead just have a chat with each other. We catch up on what's been happening in the world of Hearthstone, and as the season draws to an end, how each of us have been getting on ladder. We also cover a couple of the challenges that have been chucked at me by our guests, and what you can actually learn from constructing a deck while restricting your options. So, enjoy.
Oh, it's good to see you again. Pull up a chair by the hearth.
Episode 7 of Project Hearthstone Become Legendary. My name is still BJ the Brave, and I am joined tonight by Franco the Speedy Marufo. Hello, sir.
All right.
How the hell are you? This has probably been the longest gap between podcasts, isn't it? Bang on 2 weeks, 2 weeks and a day.
Yeah, I think we're always sort of aiming for 2 weeks, but we're such dedicated podcasters that we actually put them out a little bit more often than 2 weeks. But the thing is, ironically, this is also a little bit late. I think it's going to be about a day late or so, maybe 2 days late.
The other thing is, obviously, you've been very busy. And every time you've told me that you're really busy, Franco, it's funny because you come up on my Hearthstone thing, but it says that you're playing Diablo 3, so I'm not really sure what that... I'm not sure why every time you're at home doing work, the icon for you playing Diablo 3 pops up.
It's really confusing. It's my mate. He used my account to play Diablo 3.
Ah,
my mate and his dog. He plays it with his dog, actually.
His dog, you know,
He's actually taught his dog how to play Diablo, and he just sort of teams up with him.
His dog's actually quite mean as well, because I think it's quite a mean thing to do when you're, you know, there trying to graft and get your head down, get on with some work. For his dog to just tease you like that, just to show you not only is he using your account, but he's playing Diablo while you're working. It's quite a mean dog, really.
Yeah, he's not a nice dog. He's not well trained, mate, is what I would say. He's not well trained, you know. But it is difficult to train a dog off of Diablo once you've trained him onto it. You know, it's one of those things. I've not played huge amounts of Hearthstone recently, but I have watched my mate play Diablo. As close as I've got to the Blizzard server.
Mate, I'm being the same, to be honest. I didn't play Hearthstone for over a week, which is the first time I've done that in a long time. Because I'm busy setting up, for listeners, basically I've kind of just set up my own consultancy. So I had like loads of business, real world stuff to do. And then I got stomachache on Saturday morning, and I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. I was like, shit, I can't sleep. So I just thought, I know, I'll just play Hearthstone. I just played for like 7 hours solid on Saturday morning. But one of the things I love about this game is you can sort of leave it. And if you leave it for a few days, you sort of forget about it a bit. But when you come back to it, it's just so easy to just get back into it.
Easy to pick up into. I mean, in much the same way, it's very easy to start it. It's very easy to get back into it once you've just sort of put it down for a wee while. So, yes. You've been busy with your work, and I've been busy because I'm trying to wrap my life up, because I'm getting in the process of sort of going on my travels in the next couple of weeks. I didn't want to get any Hearthstone, because I felt as if it would suck me in for too much time, you know. Because it's one of those things where you can't just play it for like an hour.
No, you do. You just get completely overwhelmed by it, don't
you? Yeah. Or you can do, but it's so easy to just get sucked right in, you know, and just lose your whole night, you know. And I've got too much to do right now, and I just can't. I can't afford to lose an entire evening.
Diablo 3.
Well, that's the thing with Diablo. Diablo's got like natural cutoff points, you know, because like every time you get to a checkpoint, it's like, right, well, that's the end of this gaming session. That takes about an hour or whatever. That's the end of this gaming session, and then you can go on and sort of get on with the rest of your life. But you know, the natural cutoff point in Hearthstone is like 8:30 in the morning when you've been playing all night, because you've been on tilt. That's the natural cutoff endpoint for me, and that messes with me a little bit too much right now, unfortunately.
It's weird because there was quite a famous incident where I think it was Strifecrow. He took some time off, so he didn't play the game for like 2 weeks, and he came back and he just won a tournament outright. So, and I don't know about you, but I sometimes find, as long as you don't get too far behind the meta, I sometimes find it is kind of good, because when you're playing it intensely and you're trying to play every day and you're trying to climb, you get annoyed, you get frustrated, and you get on tilt. And I think you get to a zone sometimes where, you know, you can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
And then you just come back and you're kind of relaxed and you haven't played for a week. You know, let's play a bit of Hearthstone. Mate, when I came up, put it on at 4:30 on Saturday morning, I was at rank 5. So just dead quick, because I know we're like 4 days away from the end of season 11. And so basically what's happened this season, I started at rank 17. I used, I've remembered for the podcast, so I used Oil Rogue, as it's now been called. I used Oil Rogue, which got me up to like rank 10. Then I played a little bit of Mech Shaman, got me to about rank 9. And then I played Mech Mage, which got me down from rank 9 down to I went down to rank 4 and then it went back up to rank 5. So anyway, that was where... And then what I did was I played Mech Mage down to rank 5, and then I played Combo Druid down to rank 3, and then I kind of went between them, and I went back to rank 5. So anyway, as I was saying, I'd not played it for a week and a half. I'm at rank 5. I get up at 4:30 Saturday morning, and, mate, I played Combo Druid for a few games, and then I played Paladin. I went to rank 2, full stars. I was one win off rank 1, which would be, and I've done that twice now. So if I'd got that one win, that'd be the best I've ever done, the highest I've got.
Yeah, rank 1. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've done twice now. I've got to rank 2 full stars. It's so annoying. Mm-hmm. And then Polygorp started asking me to do stuff, and I got a bit tilty, and I lost like 4 out of 5.
Oh no!
Well, I also had a crash. You see, so my laptop crashed. And when that happens, it crashed 3 times this morning, but only once was during a game. But it puts me on tilt, dude, because, you know, like...
I need to get it back. I got there once before. I can do it again.
So annoying. Yeah. But just the fact that you're thinking that, you're already affected. You don't realise you're affected, but you're affected now. So it. I lost 4 games out of 5 then. So I went from full ranks, rank 2, down to a star of rank 3 or something. So I thought, I'm going to leave it here. Then I'm back into Aston, so I've gone on the internet, looked at what's going on, got into some new decks. So I've done the opposite to what our guests have told us to do. played loads of new decks, jump ship.
So all those legendary players that we're getting on, that's really good to hear what they have to say. They keep on saying, you know, just like grind it out, get familiar, know your own deck, but you know, back to front. You've ignored all that advice. All those legendary players,
mate,
people who hit legendary, you know. But they hit legendary rank 1,000 and apologise for the fact they've only got to like rank 1,000. So you just ignore that. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Just do your own thing, mate, because I'm sure you know best.
Yeah. But I'm back down to rank 3 now. So we've got about 4 or 5 days left. But I think it was quite interesting that, like I said, just taking that time off, you know, just taking a week off, and then just boom, just went from rank 5 to like full stars rank 2. I was just prolific, just absolutely prolific. Just going through. So it'd be a real shame. I mean, it looks like I've got a chance here that, you know, I have a chance where I could push for legend, but you know, I just don't know if I'm going to have the time to dedicate to it, and because really it's not. So I'm looking at the calendar now. It's the 24th of February, so we've got what, 4 days left then of this season. Now, really, I'd have to say, okay, the next 4 days, I'm getting to legend no matter what. I just I can't dedicate four
can't
dedicate
days. That for, time for the, because yeah, nah, you've got work to do.
I've got work to do, and then what it is, it gets to the last day and you're at rank 1, and it's like, but then say you don't do it, you've just done that 4 days, and
yeah,
you sacrifice
lost,
work,
lost
and
you, that 4 days,
you've,
yeah.
you've lost it now. You're done. So
yeah,
you know what I'll do is I'll try and do it in a few sessions instead. So I'll try and have a few sessions, and it'll just have to be however well I do. So if I do well, great, I can do it. If I don't, then you know it looks like I ain't doing it.
And how likely do you think it's going to be that if you get within like spitting distance of that legendary rank, you'll be able to contain yourself and just go, right, I've put my allocated hours in. This is how much time
I mean,
no more for me.
No, I wouldn't do. But then you see, dude, at least like, look, say I go, okay, here's my allocated slot, and I get to full stars rank 2 again, or I get to rank 1. Then obviously I'll go, okay, now it's worth me trying to push at this point. But of course, if I drop back down to rank 3, then I go, okay, I'm not just going to dump 4 days into it. Do you see what I mean?
So, yeah. If you bounce back and forward at the same rank, if you get within 1 star, then yeah.
Then you got to push, haven't you? So
sacrifice your life to do so.
I want that legendary card. I want it now. So, yeah, so that's been me, dude, this season, really. Again, I really want to hit Legend, and I want to just, like, relax and use some different decks. We've had the ESL finals, which we'll talk about in a bit, but I'll come on to one of the decks that's come out of that. It's really, really awesome. But what have you been up to when you've been playing?
Well, I mean, just the same kind of stuff, you know. I've done a bit of the work on the challenges. I played around with a couple of different decks, and that was interesting because it was as much as anything else, it was interesting seeing what a massive effect taking out a few, like just a couple of little tiny cards out of sort of popular decks and replacing them with what I was limited to made. But the rest of the time, I've just been sort of grinding a ladder. I've just been sticking to Mech Mage, and that's evolved through, you know, sort of different incarnations. You know, it's and it's still fun for me. You know, it's interesting because, like, I won't change decks, you know, in terms of, like, go from mage to, like, hunter or whatever. But what I will do is I will change the mage deck around quite a lot. And it's just in reaction to what's kind of kicking around me on the ladder, whatever it is I'm on ladder, you know. So, yeah, I think I probably got to about rank 11 or something. So not a massive amount of time into it. And, you know, not like a huge achievement for this month. But just the same old stuff. And like I say, it's interesting, the kind of challenging stuff that I've been doing. It must have been like a month or something now since I was actually given the first challenge, and it's been interesting working through some of that stuff and seeing how that does, just both on ladder, but just in general, you know, just in comparison to the kind of decks that I've been basing the challenge decks off of, you know.
So which ones have you done then? Which of the challenges have you done?
Well, I've done them both, actually. Like, there was two. There was the Beast Challenge and there was the Murloc Challenge.
Mm, okay.
And I've not put as much time into them that I normally would, but enough time to sort of get a feel for it and kind of, you know, discover some interesting things. So the first one with the Beast Challenge. Now, if you're thinking of Beast Challenge, you're thinking of making a deck that, you know, is like Beast themed or even limited entirely to the Beasts, which is what I did. It was either followers who were minions who were Beasts or minions who can interact with Beasts specifically, like the Huntmaster and thing, giving them taunt and things like that. You think, you know, the first class you go to for that is Hunter, right? You know, that's what you think, yeah.
Mm.
But actually, it was kind of strange because although the deck doesn't change much from like the sort of basic Hunter deck that you're using, it changes just enough to make it not feeble, but it loses so much, you know, it loses so much pace, so much speed over the sort of normal Hunter decks that you've got kicking around, because you are forced to use those Beasts. And what you tend to do is you tend to run out of steam very quickly, and you've got no real finisher. You know, you get no real finisher coming on. I mean, you can have the Savannah guy and things, but it's like getting to that stage, you know, there's quite often it's the only card you put down, and it's not in itself enough to beat someone, you know. It's not enough to beat someone. You need to have him plus some other stuff down.
Mm.
So what I actually ended up finding was that the best Beast deck I could make up, and the one that did the best for me, was actually a Druid deck. And it was actually basically a combo Druid deck, except a lot of cards get replaced with Beasts, you know. And what it ends up is like a combo Druid deck that has like minions to play earlier on, rather than sort of racing to sort of get that innervate out and things. It's got some minions to play earlier on. It gives you a little bit of breathing space, but it does finish in the same kind of way. You know, it does finish with that. I can't even remember the cards now. The little tree ants and the fury thing.
How did you find the? Did you use the? I want to find the name for it. It's called Druid of the something. Let me just. Druid of the Fang, I think.
Aye, I did use him. Yeah, I did use him.
It goes up to
seven. If you've got a Beast down, yeah, he's all right. Yeah, he's all right, especially with innervating things, you know, because you can get him out quite early. What you find with that deck, if you're doing the Beast deck, using a Druid as your base, is that a lot as a combo Druid deck, what you lack is taunts. You know, there's not many taunts that you can put down in the form of Beasts. So what you tend to be is a little bit more aggressive, and he, although he's not a taunt, he does provide your opponent something that they sort of need to deal with for relatively cheap, especially when you get him out for way innervating and things like that. And he's good as long as you've got like some Beasts and shit. in your deck, and in this deck specifically, it was sort of themed around it. You know, you do get quite good value out of him. You know, he comes out as a 7/7. You can't just ignore him. You know, it's not like with Taunt. Obviously, you need to deal with Taunt in order to get to your opponent most of the time. But with this guy, you just need to deal with him because he's so tough. You know, he's going to do so much damage if you don't deal with him. So it's almost like it has a bit of Taunt ability to him because it has to be dealt with. You know, you can't just like go fuck it and go to the face with him sitting out there. Not when you're, you know, sitting ready to like go into combo the next turn or something. You know, your opponent just can't do that kind of thing.
So he's a Druid of the Fang, 5 mana, 4/4. Battlecry, if you have a beast, transform this minion into a 7/7. So I guess if the guy hasn't got the BGH, this guy is going to be hard to deal with just through random training. And if you're doing a combo deck, then he's probably going to be a 7/3 maybe next turn, and you might be able to get some Savage Roar on him or anything or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's it. He's worth putting down. You don't get great value on him, but it's still worth putting him down if you don't have any beasts on the field. But if you have got beasts in the field, he's very good value, you know, especially if you get him out early. He can really sort of knock off your opponent's health and get him down to that threat range that you've got with your combo later on in the game. You know, and like, you know, as usual with the combo druid, it is all about getting him into your threat range and then hitting him out with that and sort of one turn or about turn 9 or whatever. So, it was better than the Hunter version. You know, it was interesting because it's not what you would immediately go to if you were thinking, I want to make a beast deck. You'd immediately go sort of Hunter because there's so many cards that interact with it. But actually, because you're missing out on certain minions that are not beasts that you would normally have in a Hunter deck, it takes too much of a hit. You know, it just really does take too much of a hit. The Combo Druid doesn't, because the Combo Druid, at least, it's got the same finisher. You know, it's got the same finisher.
So do you have a deck that you finished on, or did you use Malon?
No, I didn't use Malon actually. No, there was a couple of decks that I sort of I was sort of messing around with, and I can't even get into the Hearthstone just now, but I'll put them up in the show notes. You know, so folks can have a look at them rather than just me talking through 30 cards. Folks can have a look and tell me what they think and maybe use it themselves or, you know, do their own kind of theme, you know. One of the most interesting things about doing a theme is that when you restrict yourself to certain cards, it really gives you a good understanding about how these sort of meta decks are constructed and what a massive impact it can have to take out just a couple of what you would see as small cards. You know, and then when you go to constructing your own decks, you've got a better understanding about how that should go, is what I found. You know,
how do you mean? What do you mean by?
Well, if you limit yourself to certain cards, you really notice when you can't have in other cards. You know,
feels miss big, the knife
juggler. Like, holy fuck, I can't get that fucking Black Knight in or whatever. You know, you're like shit. You know. It makes a massive difference, you know, really missing like taunts in the druid deck, really missing them. And then it was interesting how it played differently, but like there was so many times I was thinking, like, run about now, if this was a combo deck, I'd have a taunt up and that would save my bacon, you know. And it was just interesting. It's just interesting, like you can change little cards around, even just things like in a Hunter deck, like not being able to put an Undertaker. Now I know Undertaker's been nerfed, but he's still quite good. And not being able to have that Gehart card in your deck, like, you do feel it. You feel it in the early stages of the game because you replaced them with, like a Raptor, you know, like the 3/2 Raptor cards. You know, and they're thinking, well, this just isn't as good. You know what I mean? It's just not getting as much threat, and I'm not going to get as much value out of this guy. You know, and it's it kind of stings you, and it gives you a really good understanding of how much of a difference little cards can make in the overall deck. You know, when you wouldn't normally have sort of noticed it. Like, you wouldn't normally have noticed some of the sort of lower mana cards having such a profound impact on your initial plays. But, you know, when you need to swap them out and replace them with things that are not as mana efficient, you do notice it now. You know, you really notice it now.
And what about the... going back to... I just had a little little fluff insight. So you could have maybe gone back to Green Sheep and gone, well, you know, Green Sheep, surely I can have the Black Knight, because, you know, even though the Black Knight himself's not a beast, look what he's riding. He's riding a horse. Surely from a fluff perspective, from a thematic deck, I can get the Black Knight in. Come on. So yeah. I reckon you could have got away with that. What about the Murloc deck then? That was Shaki's challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was much more effective, I'd say. I think like the Murloc deck is actually a legitimately decent deck.
Actually, I think so as well. Yeah.
Like of all I've done and all the challenges, I think the Murloc deck's perhaps the strongest because it's like it does actually sit quite well in the meta because. And it's obviously, I went to Shaman for this one. I messed around with a couple of other things, but really it was all about Shaman. And it's because Nechalon and because the Sylphin Spirit Walker, you know. Like, this Sylphin Spirit Walker is really, it's just brilliant for drawing, you know, for card draw. Because he's got, like, he's 4 mana, he's 2 attack, he's 5 health. And every time... a Murloc dies, you draw a card. So it's quite easy to get him out later on, just as you're about to attack with a bunch of Murlocs and lose them and get a bunch of cards from him. And obviously Neptulon, who's a 7 drop, he's a 7/7/7 drop, and he adds 4 Murlocs to your hands. You know, and for the Murlocs themed deck, like all those 4 Murlocs will more than likely combo with either what you've got in your hand already or what you've played on the field. So yeah, it was a really good deck. You know, really aggressive. You know, a kind of really kind of fast aggro deck that can get really scary values out of its Murlocs quite quickly. But also, it's got a couple of finishers, and that was what a kind of Murloc deck lacked previously. It didn't really have a finisher, you know, if you were going to do nothing but Murlocs. Mm. But Neptulon kind of gives you that finisher, I guess. You know, he's actually gives you the ability to do something in the late game rather than just rush your opponent down.
And the other thing as well, I guess, with the Murloc decks right now is that because some of the aggro deck, I mean, it was always a decent-ish deck, but because some of the aggro decks now are sort of dying off a little bit, we're not seeing as much Zoo. Hunter's not as aggro. I mean, I know the Face Hunter deck's still about, but we're not seeing as much Hunter since the Undertaker nerf.
It actually trades very well. It goes very well against the Face Hunter deck, you know, because the minions, often the minions get like bonuses to their health and things. Mm. They just trade with Hunter minions so well. And then when if the Hunter's like put down a freezing trap, actually your Murlocs don't cost much to put out. Mm. You know, like they might be sitting on like 3/4 or whatever, you know, but they actually only cost 1 mana to put out because it's some shitty Murloc that's been buffed by so many other Murlocs, and you don't mind them getting frozen. You're like, all right, cool, I'll play them next turn, you know, for 3. You know, it's so yeah. Actually, the irony is that although the Hunter Face Hunter's still about, like this deck trades quite well with that, as well as doing what the Face Hunter does. You know, it's the same kind of job that it does.
Mm. I might have to give it a go. I think I ran one Murloc deck, but I think it did quite well. I actually fancy trying it as Zoo, to be honest, with Enhancer Meccano. I really like that card.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of building up my Murlocs and then just slapping Enhancer down as a finisher.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it would be a finisher as well. If you do manage to build the Murlocs up, and like I say, they can get quite scary quite quickly with all the kind of the way they combo with each other. Enhancer Meccano would be a finisher, one certainly. Yeah,
and also you've got some other cards you can put in there. I mean, the main thing with the Warlock is that I'm thinking is obviously the card draw. But I think I'd also take some of the other cards. Like I'd probably take two Doom Guards as a finisher. You know, when my hand's empty, when I've put all the Murlocs out, and then I can just chuck Doom Guard out to finish. I'd probably put two Power Overwhelmings in there. You know, again as a finisher, +4. Attack to on one of my Murlocs. Mm. Maybe even play things like Soulfires and Dart Bombs as well, just to give me that extra reach. And I reckon that'd be even things like Direwolf Alpha, which you run in Zoo. I think, you know, that would be a good card to run with the Murlocs because it's just anything that's basically going to enhance them, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Because they do come cheap, relatively cheap for the most part, the Murlocs. You know, so it is. You do tend to fly them out of your hands, and one of the only things that will bother you with a deck is that you will often lose. You kind of run out of cards to play, but also you will often play maybe 4 or 5 cards, but those 4 or 5 cards will combo so well with each other that they're just unstoppable in the early stages of the game. Like before turn 5. Having sort of 4 or 5 cards out that are, you know, 3/4s, 4/5s and things. You know, most guys just can't deal with that. You just can't deal with anything like that, you know. And you just steamroll people, you know. It's one of those decks, it's like most aggro decks, it's got the big punch finisher, you know, and it can lucky punch anybody if it gets the right combo in its hand, you know.
Cool, cool. So, yeah. So you're going to put the deck lists up on the...
On the show notes, yeah.
Up on the show notes.
Look at them, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then we're going to give you a little bit of a break from the challenges now, because you've actually taken on board some of the advice as well from our guests, haven't you? And your play has actually improved. Just
and when I get time to play, actually, I sort of consistently, you know, move up the ranks now, you know. So it's just, it'd be nice to sort of just hammer away at that. And I think I've only got one more show to do for the podcast from the UK, and then the next show after that will actually be, I'll be sort of Skyping with you from abroad.
Mm.
And I'm not sure how much time I'm going to get to play, actually, you know, with my broads. So it'd be a bit of a strain for me to play Hearthstone and play through a challenge.
Well, mate, you're going to have to mix it in with all that sitting on a beach in Thailand. I mean, I don't know where you're going to find time, to be honest.
Wait, it's a lot of work, that, you know. It's a lot of time that gets put into that, you know.
And you're going to be all over, right? You're going to be in the States as well?
Yeah, I'm going to Thailand, Cambodia.
They're not
Australia,
in the States, mate. They're not
New
in the
Zealand,
States.
US, and then Europe. Yeah, that's the one.
Cool. We're going to do a bit of role play as well, aren't we?
We're going to get imagination on.
What's that thing called? Roll20, is it?
Roll20 website. That's
so it's pretty cool. So for anyone who's listening, if you Roll20, it looks a bit like a Skype kind of thing, isn't it?
It's like a multiple chat thing on Skype, except it's got the ability to roll dice as well. So if you're like us and you like all things that are geeky and gaming wise, and you want to do a bit of role playing with your friends, but you can't be bored leaving your house, which let's face it, is most of us, then you can use Roll20. Or if you're in a macking situation when you'll be abroad and want to keep in contact with your friends.
Well, it's a great idea, isn't it? Because the thing about role play is, you know, it's great if you like it, but you need a group of mates and you've got to get around. And, you know, if you've got people, you know, if you live in America and you've got friends in Europe, or if you've got just friends in a different state or a different county, as we call it in the UK, then you're, you know, you've now got a tool that can help you to play it. So I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So, a lot along with like Hearthstone, you know, and I should keep in contact with all my little geeky buddies back in the UK.
All two of them. There you go. your mate and your mate's dog who plays on your Diablo account. So, a little bit of Hearthstone news then. We had the ESL. The ESL series season one finale. It's just literally, I've been watching it. It finished 2 days ago. And for anyone who doesn't know, the ESL Legendary series, I think it was £20,000 was the prize money in the end. But it's been quite a good series, because the way it works is every week for the last 8 weeks they have a tournament, and you can certain people can qualify for that tournament through like open qualification. But they also have invitations, so certain, you know, there's invitational slots to pro players. And so what's happened is every week there's been a tournament, and the winner of that tournament has gone through to the finals, if that, you know, like the grand finals.
Right.
So if you've been following it, you've now seen eight tournaments and eight winners. And so those eight winners that now have gone into the ESL Series Grand Final, and that's what's just been played this weekend. So all the winners got together, and it was all not, you know, it was a little group stage kind of thing, and then knockout, and it went through to knockout. It might have been more than eight, but I'm going to use eight because that's an easy number. I can't count much higher than that. So, and
it was only 8 figures, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, and it was super cool. And our guest from the other week, Jackie, he was in it, and I was rooting for him.
How did he do?
Did very well, mate. Got to the final.
Of course he did.
Yeah,
because we only get the best. That's right.
Yeah.
On this show,
it was really cool. He, because I know Jackie was saying that his big thing was that in a lot of the times where he has been invited to something and he's gone to these live events, that he's underperformed at live events, but did really well. He, I think he had Hunter, Druid, and what was his third class that he was using? Hunter, Druid, and Freeze Mage. Yeah, he had Freeze Mage. He was the only guy playing Freeze Mage.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Did really well, really, really well. He's super good with Face Hunter as well. I realised when I watched him play with that I just, you know, a lot of people think Face Hunter is just play the card, hit fit. Nah, there's a lot more to it. And I realised that whenever I use Face Hunter, I just lose. And I realised watching him now that there's a lot of, just like any deck, you've got to know the deck inside out. You've got to know what you're mulliganing for, went to play stuff. Yeah, he played it real well. And he also, so he got to the final, and in the end, he fell at the final hurdle to a guy called Silent Storm, right. Who is someone who I was aware of, because quite a few months ago, he beat Colento in, I think it was the final of a tournament. He hasn't got a massive following, doesn't stream. He, as I say, he's a Canadian player. But I wanted to sort of I wanted to chat a little bit about this deck that he used, because basically what one of the things about this Silent Storm guy is that he likes to create his own decks, a bit like Daquonix, who also got to the semi-final. He came with this Warlock deck, and a lot of people had dropped Warlock. You know, there was very few Handlock decks there, if any. No one was playing Zoo. And he brought along a bit of a new concept for Warlock, and he pretty much just went through everyone with this deck. This deck, like, really was one of the... His Druid deck did well as well, but this deck was kind of really was one of the main reason why he won the tournament. I mean, he played Savige, 3-0'd Savige, and then in the group stage, played him again in the quarterfinal, beat him again, and this deck was ran rampant. And yeah, it was super impressive. So we'll put a link in the show notes, but I'll go through it and we'll just have a little bit of a chat about it. So obviously the Warlock power enables you to keep drawing cards. And what he's got from the class cards, he's got two Mortal Coils. He's got two Power Overwhelming, two Void Walkers, two Dark Bombs, two Mistress of Pain. He's got two Abusive Sergeants, two New Rubian Eggs. And a big game hunter. So it's kind of Zooey up to now. You know, it's quite a lot of early game there. And then he's got two Defender of Argus, one Antique Healbot, one Lothab, one Sylvanas, one Dr. Boom, one Hellfire, two Implosions, one Shadowflame, two Void Callers, one Doomguard, one Jiraxxus, and one Mal'Ganis. So...
what finishers there, aren't there? Same thing, it's very...
clever deck, dude, because
yeah,
what happens is that the way he plays it is he taps a lot to get, you know, to get his card draw, and what happens is he tends to start out with his early game minions, so he's very Zooey to start with, and those Nerubian Eggs coming out, Mistresses of Pain coming out. The Mistress of Pain are brilliant in this deck as well, because, you know, like say you're playing Mistress of Pain and then you Abusive Sergeant it, so it goes +2 strength, so it's now strength 3 and it's got 4 health. But when it attacks and kills something, say it kills a knife jug or something, that's 3 health that you get back. Because every time it attacks, it basically gives whatever damage it deals, every time it deals damage, even if you attack the mistress, every time she deals damage, it gives you that much health back. Which, for a warlock that's relying on drawing cards and losing 2 health every time, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few Mistresses of Pain on Lather, actually, and people will, like, buff them up as well with that. There's the card that gives demons a buff. It kills a lot of things, but it gives demons a buff. You know, they'll use that kind of thing to buff it up, and it is a pain in the arse, you know, because it's got quite a lot of health.
It's real good.
And you know, and it plays early as well, you know, it's a 2-drop, so it's got 4 health.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to deal with early on.
I just lost to a paladin, because I had him down at 8 health, and he had a Pilot of Shredder on the board, killed the Pilot of Shredder, bloody Mistress of Pain came out for him, he then Defender of Argos'd it up, and hit me in the face and was back up, and then played Lay on Hands. He was back up to 22 health, and I couldn't get through this shield. Yeah, so annoying. So the Mistress of Pain, the Healbot, and Jiraxxus means that he's got some pretty good heal in the deck. But what's also real good is then he's into his mid-game, he's got options, so he's got things like Hellfire or Shadowflame if he needs to board clear. He's got things like Implosion, which are real good swing cards in that mid game, you know.
Definitely.
He's got Void Callers, which he plays, and of course, if you kill them, then he pulls out Jiraxxus or Mal'Ganis on turn 5. I mean, that's just.
Or even just like Doomguard without having any, you know, the consequence of Doomguard.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, if he brings out Doomguard, that's awesome. If he brings out Mal'Ganis, that's insane.
Game. That's game.
And bringing out Jiraxxus ain't that bad because a 3/15, which you can then play like Defender of Argus on. You know, it's real good. So, and then obviously forgetting my bloody terms now. Not coining, what am I trying to say? Curving, that's what I was trying to say. Curving into things like Lothab, Sylvanas, Dr. Boom. Mm. You know, it's got some real strong end game in there as well.
There's a lot of swing cards as well, aren't there? There's a lot of cards that it's like a one card play that if you're losing tempo on the guy, you know, like Implosion for the mid game.
Sylvanas, Flayerbone,
you know, Doctor Boom, yeah,
a lot of cards, shooting down your magic.
Yeah, a lot of cards that just, it's almost like it allows you constantly to just like, oh, I've almost got it. I know you don't. And I've almost got it. I know you don't. You know, and always just keeping that one up on you. And I think it's a great finisher with just like Jiraxxus. If you get like Jiraxxus and Morgana's out, it's just it's a brilliant finisher, that, isn't it? Very difficult to deal with.
Such a clever deck, because I think even in the early games, if you think about things like Voidwalker, which is a 1-3, Mistress of Pain, which is a 1-4, because you're not seeing much Zoo right now. Remember Zoo with the deck, weren't they, where they'd have a 2-1 on the board, but you knew they could always buff it by 2 because they'd have something in hand that could buff it. So because because that's gone away, it kind of trades really well with early minions, because a 1-4, what's going to deal with a 1-4? What's everyone playing? Think about Mechmage. They haven't got anything before attack in the first 3 turns.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you see what I mean?
That's the problem I've had against the Mistress, is that if I'm playing my Mage deck, it's just difficult to deal with early on, unless you get like something, you know. And even a Frostbolt, it's 2 cards. You'll still pump 2 cards into him. You'll put like a minion and a Frostbolt into the Mistress of Pain.
And the Nerubian Eggs are as good as ever. And, you know, in this deck, he's got the 2 abusive sergeants. He's got the Power Overwhelmings, which he'll play on it straight away. He's got the Defender of Argus. So he can actually take over the early game with his deck quite easily. If you do get behind, like you said, you've got those swing cards like Implosion and Hellfire and Shadow Flame. You can even Void Caller and Shadow Flame your Void Caller, and that then pulls out your Doom Guard. You know, there's some real cool synergies with it. And I also like the fact that it's a Warlock deck with Heal. You know, I like the fact that I've got those 2 Mistresses. I like the fact I've got a Heal bot in there, and of course I've got Jiraxxus as well. So it's quite nasty, to be honest. It's one of the decks I want to. So I've played with it. I played on casual. I played 3 games just to get grips with it, and I won all 3. And then I played 3 games on ladder and I lost 2 and won 1. But of course, you know, I just need to, I kind of just need to play with it. But it's quite a super interesting deck. It's kind of a control-y type deck. I think what's really cool is he used it on ladder, actually, apparently just ranked up real quick, because people aren't really expecting it. You know, like you get Warlock on ladder and you're sort of thinking, right, is it Zoo? You know, is it Handlock? Maybe it's Demon Lock, or that or you know, maybe I'm thinking about that combo lock now with the 27 damage. But it's none of them. You know, it's just none of the above.
Yeah, I think the sort of tempo Warlock decks are getting a lot more popular now. You know, I think who did we have on that was talking about that? Was it Green Sheep or Shaki who was talking about just the tempo decks are just it's not so much like, you know, Zoo, and it's not so much control anymore. Like, what's the very good, the decks that are really doing consistently well are the tempo decks right now, because they, you know, they have an option at every stage of the game, and there's too many decks that are there's so many like literally put every card they can into like one particular tactic. You know, and when they bounce up against the opposite of that, you know, or the counter to that, they've got no solution. Whereas a tempo deck is always in it. You know, it's always pretty much in it. It's just not as consistently destructive against, you know, like doesn't have like consistently destructive matchups. It's just got, you know, just like a fair play against everything. That's why I like tempo decks as well. You know, you have something to do at every stage of the game, and it's not just like, you know, hero power pass. You know, or fire out all your minions early and then like a run out of cards pass, you know, you don't feel like that.
I'll tell you what I was going to ask you. I know we did this on some of the early shows, and we haven't for a while because we've been doing interviews, but as we've been sort of settling in now and playing decks a bit more consistently and getting a real feel for decks, I was going to ask about if you had a couple of cards, you know, like a bit of a kind of card of the week feature That you're finding, you know, that are really powerful or that you're really enjoying using at the minute.
The thing is, like, it's kind of interesting one. So, like Unstable Portal will always be one of my favourite cards, you know, because it's just like it can just save your bacon in such a massive way, and it has done so many times. Now, fair enough, like every so often it'll kind of fuck up on you, like you'll get a pirate that like combos with other pirates, and you're thinking, good, it's not a pirate deck, so fuck this. You know, and it's almost like a waste, but, you know, quite often you'll at least get those guys out in the same turn that you've cast it, so you'll get it out for, like, 2 mana, whatever. But on a regular basis, it will pull out,
A Doom Maul Sherman or a Ragnaros.
Yeah, something like that, like an 8-drop, you know, which you're getting out on turn 5. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, you know, it's a fair point saying, right, you didn't pay 5 for it, you know, you paid 7, but you did, fair enough, you paid 7, but you paid it over 2 turns.
Mm.
You know, and it's that ability to sort of get things, some things out really early. Like, I've had Lord Jaraxxus. You know how good Lord Jaraxxus is in a mage deck? Like, he's so good. When you get him out, you know, you get him out in, like, turn 6, like, your opponent's done. You know, I got him out, I pulled Jaraxxus out of Unstable Portal, got him out in turn 6 when I had 20-something health, and I was like, well, I'm happy to go down to 15, because it was such massive board dominance. It was against a priest, and it was such massive board dominance to start getting those 6-6 Infernals out. Mm. You know, like, I think the priest says, like, the guy I was playing, he said it was a mistake because I brought my health down by so much, and I was just thinking, no, it's not. You know, and sure enough, like, within 3 turns, the board was just full of Infernos, and he had nothing he could do about them all. And, you know, it's like he like killed the first one with, like, a Shadow Word Death, and then it was just like, well, what else you got, you know? And the amount of times I've pulled Deathwing a couple of times. Deathwing's always nasty as hell as well. Mm. You get Deathwing out early. Rag, I've pulled him a couple of times, you know. And even if you don't get them out early, even just, like, it's like giving you an extra win condition, you know. Like, it's a two drop mm. that can give you a win condition, you know. And it keeps the game interesting, you know. It keeps the game really interesting on Table Portal. It means it's always worth playing. It's always worth keeping on playing, because you could, even if you're getting the worst game, you know, that you could be having, you could always just pull that fucking Deathwing card or whatever out of Unstable, and then it wins you the whole thing, you know.
Mm.
So yeah,
I'll tell you a card that I've enjoyed using and just playing around with is the Sherman card. It's the Whirling Zap-O-Matic.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's had a bit of stick, this card, but I think it's a brilliant card for 2 mana, because like, if you think about it, if you get a 3/2 for 2 mana, you know, just playing a 3/2 for 2 mana is a good play, right? You know, it's a good play, isn't it? It's not game breaking anymore, but it's a decent play. That's good stats for a 2 mana card. It can trade up with, like, 3 mana cards. You know, it's a good play. But yeah, this fucking thing, I mean, it's like, when you play it, you can almost feel, you know, and if
your
you play against
shits
it,
themselves.
You feel your opponent shit themselves. Like, talk about Taunt, like, that is a must kill that immediately, with immediate effect now.
Yeah, that's
and,
it.
And if
that's,
they don't kill it, it's the fact that it's like, not only is
it
potentially doing 6, but you could put Rockbiter on it, so now it's doing 12 damage. You could stick a Flame Tongue Totem in between it, so now it's doing, getting a bonus 2 damage, but 4 damage because of the Wind Fury. You could stick, you could have a Power Mace combo where you combo off that, and it becomes, that's a brilliant one where you attack with a Power Mace, and then the next turn you play Whirling Zap-O-Matic and then smack with a Power Mace, and now it's a 5-4, and your opponent's thinking, shit, I've got to deal with it, and it's got 4 health. And if I don't deal with it, that's 10 attack, plus, like you said, Rockbiter would make it
14.
It just gets stupid. Yeah. And that's what I love about it. I'm like, what other card for 2 mana can just spiral out of control like that, like, can just literally win you the game? Like, not even Knife Juggler can get that kind of power, you know, in terms of its potential. So I'm real loving that card. And I guess the other one that I'm really loving at the minute is, and I suppose I'm cheating a little bit because it's almost like a combo rather than just the individual card, but if I had to pick the one card, it's Blade Flurry.
Right.
From the rug, you know. I was going to say also, obviously, Tinker's Oil, but then you're like, prep Tinker's Oil. Yeah.
No, Deadly but it's always been good. I think it's always been good, Blade Flurry, but it's really coming to its own now that you can get your weapon up to such high levels, you know. Your attack level can just go so high. Mm. It's the fact that it hits the hero as well. You know, it's not even just like clear the board, it's clear the board and hit the hero in the face. Mm. You know, you can't really ask for much more than that, so I'm...
It's insane, man. It's just so goddamn good. I'm really, really enjoying Blade Flurry. You know, and the fact that it's like, you know, it's the fact that I can hit face, I can then clear the board, which also then hits face again. Mm. I mean, it's just insane power, and that's just off your. That's the other thing that's great about Blade Flurry, is that it synchronizes with your hero power.
That's it.
You know, that's what probably the best thing about it, to be honest.
Yeah, because you can use it. You can use it early game if you really need to clear like a sort of a quick rush. Mm. But also you can use it late game, and it's, you know, it can be like just as legitimate. Essentially, you know, it's like it can either save your bacon early game by clearing out a quick rush that's threatening to overwhelm you, and not having much value on your attack, or it can really, like, you know, swing the game around late game when you're behind a lot in health, you know, and then all of a sudden you hit like someone in the face for 7 and then Blade Flurry for another 7, and now you've just done 14 health to his face, and it's a massive swing, that, you know, as well as like clear on the table, you know. It's massive swing, that kind of thing. It's very good. It's come into its own, certainly since the oil and stuff has been released.
Yeah, it's game winning, because you know, like, sometimes you get like amazing cards and you'll say, oh, that's a really powerful card and it could do this, but you got it in your hand and you're like, ah, shit, I haven't got the combo, I'm waiting for the other piece. But the fact that it's like, when Blade Flurry hits, it's like, well, as long as I've got hero power, I can always do something with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it can always be useful. It can always be useful, you know. And I mean, obviously, like, if it's sort of mid to late game, you'll more often not, I think, wait at least for a deadly poison or something to show up. But it's the fact that, you know, you can play early game and it can be legitimate because of your hero power. You know, it can save your bacon from that early rush, you know, in the early stages of the game. So it's definitely got a lot more value in the last couple of patches.
Cool. All right. Well, we've got a couple of cards there reviewed. I think that's it for this week, Franco. So, like you said, we're going to do probably one more recording before you go. So what's the plan now? We got four more days left this season. You're going to go out and make one more push on the ladder. You're going to try new decks. What are you going to be using?
I will do. You know, I've noticed that, like, as the sort of season, you know, carries on, it gets a bit easier to progress on the ladder, which is where I shine. When it becomes easy.
That's where I shine.
I'll get my head screwed on and see what kind of rank. It'd be nice to even just get to like rank 9 or something, you know, which I've sort of been able to consistently hit for the last few months. So I don't think I'll get to rank 6 like I did last time, last season. But I'll see what I can do for the final few days, so I'll actually have something to talk about come the next episode.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, listeners. I suppose you'll be doing your outro and giving us all the spiel. Just to let people know, we are on Twitter. We are interacting on there. It's PHBL Podcast. Is our Twitter handle, and also you can listen to us in a whole variety of ways. You know, you can go on iTunes. One thing I would ask for, I've had a few people message me as well, is, you know, if you're enjoying the podcast, we're getting some really positive feedback. People seem to be enjoying the show. You know, just let us know. Things like writing us a little short review. When I say a review, it's just like, hi, awesome podcast, keep it up. You know, something as simple as that. It actually really helps us, because the way iTunes works is the more reviews that we get, basically, the more, you know, it'll flash up, and the higher in the rankings, that sort of stuff. So,
it's nice to be easy to find. It's, you know, I think a lot of iTunes, in terms of, like, you know, getting podcasts out there, is like just being easy to find, you know, and you'll make it easy to find if you like the show by just letting other people know that you like the show.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, it's not like we're doing this for, you know, it's not like some big business thing. I know some of the podcasts and things out there, that it's like a business to them. We're just doing this for the hell of it, really, because we love it.
Are you not getting paid for this?
I'm getting screwed.
We're not. Yeah, it's just hobby.
but at the very least, you know, Franco's only got one friend and a dog out there. So if he follows on Twitter and he gets a few more mates out of it, then he's going to be very happy. So, yeah, so tune in, as I say, next time. We are going to try and get some more guests on for you. I think we're looking to get some of D2's teammates, Faramir, who's won several tournaments in the last 6 months. We're looking to get Powder on the show, Masan, and I think Magic Amy as well. So if you're enjoying the show, keep on listening and write us a review. Follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. All right, cool. Okay. See you next time.
Bye. Okay, folks, that's this week's show. As BJ has already covered, check us out on Twitter at PHBL Podcast. Like us on our Project Hearthstone Facebook page, and even feel free to get in touch or follow us via Twitch. If you have any feedback at all, leave a comment on one of our various media outlets, and we will hopefully get back to you. One of us will. And on next week's show, we don't know what we're doing, because let's face it, folks, we're pretty much making this shit up as we go along. We may have an interview, you know, might be valid, might not, might just be an R chat. But whatever it is, hopefully, I'll see you soon.
And now, the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friends, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Now get to the chopper!